Sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous.
What do you got, Jake?
Well, reportedly, and this is a long time coming, but a fight with J.J. Watt reportedly started in the Texans locker room that eventually got Bill O'Brien fired. This was reported to happen over this weekend after the Texans suffered another loss to continue their season to 0-4. And this is the first head coach firing of the year, and I don't think this is any surprise to anyone. I think everyone saw that Bill O'Brien was going to get fired, and not only was going to get fired, but this was a long time coming. I think it should have happened last year, but what's your guys' thoughts on this?
I don't know, man. I just think that this was a long time coming. I think J.J. Watt just wanted to, like, vent his frustrations out with this team. The Texas team was just atrocious, in the beginning of the season. I think J.J. Watt just had to just tell him, like, you know what? You suck.
Well, it's also sad for Deshaun Watson because this is a quarterback that's in the prime of his career right now, about to enter the prime of his career, and Bill O'Brien was about to waste it. And, you know, I think the ownership and as well some of the teammates saw that and was like, hey, we're not going to allow, you know, about to allow this to happen. And we want to be able to make sure we maximize all of Deshaun Watson's career. Because, I mean, those last 2 years going 11-5, and especially the year before, starting off 0-3 and making the playoffs. I mean, they've shown that they can make a run. And I just think they got sick of the same Bill O'Brien mindset the last couple years.
Yeah, and I think it should be noted that this was more likely that it was the GM Bill O'Brien that was fired, not the coach Bill O'Brien, because the coach Bill O'Brien has done a very good job as a coach. Mm. As weird as it is to say, they've won the division like 3 years in a row now. That's unheard of for a coach to get fired like that. But when he's also acting as the GM and ships out their like second best talent right behind Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, and all they get in return is David Johnson, a second round pick, that's grounds for firing three straight.
And just to say, when Stephon Diggs went 2 weeks later for two first rounders, a second and a fourth, like, you obviously didn't get the worth.
Exactly.
That you were supposed to with DeAndre.
Exactly.
Exactly. So what's the next headline?
Yeah. Brooks Koepka to make PGA Tour return at 2020 CJ Cup. He been out for 2 months with a knee injury. The CJ Cup will be at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas this coming week. And next week. And I just think this is great for golf. I mean, anytime you're missing who is one of your superstars in Brooks Koepka, this is he brings more eyes to the TV. Him and Bryson's arguments and rivalry will definitely also bring more eyes. And this is – Brooks Koepka loves his majors, and this is about the perfect timing for him to come back with the Masters being in November this year. So get his body right, get his swing right, and come back. And I like him early money to win the Masters. He hasn't done that yet. Put him in a green jacket and that's who I like if Tiger's not going
to
win it.
Yeah, if Tiger doesn't win it. I mean, Tiger's the one that brings the draws to the crowd, which there is no crowd. I think, do you think the COVID situation has kind of hurt the whole PGA?
No, not at all. I think it's helped. I think more people, they were the first sport to come back, besides maybe some European soccer leagues.
And UFC.
And UFC. That's true, too. But they were the first guys to come back, and besides the UFC, and I think that brought more eyes than golf seen in a long time. I mean, it's a sport that is obviously socially distanced in its nature, especially when you get rid of the crowds. I mean, you got three golfers on Friday, Saturday together, and then
you can't do nothing but golf now. Yeah, there's
yelling. Me, at least, I've been watching a lot of golf, and I'm a golf fanatic, so it makes sense. But I've been watching golf more than I have, especially without any other sports on besides the occasional UFC fight on a Saturday.
Sure.
As well as, you know, the football game's on, but, you know, once football and once it's basketball and as well as baseball ends, we're only going to be having football and UFC and the occasional, you know, golf. So,
all right. My headline of the day is – go back to my favorite team, the Washington football. I just love that name. The Washington football team. Dwayne Haskins has been set. They sat him to third screen quarterback today. They sat him on a bench, pulled him. And Josh Allen's going to take in a starter.
Kyle Allen. Doing backflips in Washington.
Kyle Allen. Thanks for the correction. Kyle Allen. And Alex is the second backup. I mean, was it fair to sit him on the bench?
Yes. It's also very scary that Alex Smith is one snap away from becoming, like, to be seeing NFL action. That's a scary thought for a guy who
I don't know.
Had to lose his knee.
I don't understand the polling. I mean, Dwayne Haskins. I mean, they're only a game and a half away from this, you know, first place. And not only that, but it's not like Dwayne Haskins was playing horrible. I mean, that whole division is horrible. So if you look at, like, you know, they're probably the second best team in that division.
They
right
are
now.
The second best team in
so
the division.
So I just don't understand.
By record.
By record. By default.
Yes.
By default. But I just don't understand putting Kyle Allen out there. And we already saw what he did last year with Carolina. I mean, it looked good early on, but towards the end, he just fell down and the treads fell right off the tires. I mean, you saw, you know, mistakes. You saw him, you know, not look like a franchise quarterback. People started scheming against that. And I just don't see why they put this guy back out there, especially with a team that is less talented than the one he played in Carolina, because they don't have a premier running back like Christian McCaffrey that he at least had. They really have, like, what, J.D. McKissic and
Antonio Gibson. I like Antonio Gibson a lot. He looks pretty good.
Antonio Gibson's
been
good.
Terry McLaurin as well.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin.
But I mean, I don't see – they don't really have weapons outside of that. It's a very porous offense and a porous offensive line.
I think it was a very, very early pull. I'd give him one more game. I could see the reason why pulling him. And, I mean, pull him, but don't put him to the third emergency quarterback role. That just added insult. That means, like, I mean, for a kid with this much talent right now, you know, I mean, granted, he's not the best, like – quarterback of his class.
And
I give you
they
that.
They know that he's
he
not
wasn't
the quarterback
best.
Of the future.
And I can see that, but you got to develop this quarterback. I mean, he still needs a lot of development. I'm not going to argue that Dwayne Haskins don't need a lot more work. He does. But just to pull him right now when he was starting and, you know, send him to the third emergency quarterback role, that's just a hurt to your ego. I'm not going to want to play. If you do that to me, I'm not going to play no more. I'm not going to play for the Washington football team no more if you do that to me.
Well, luckily for the Washington football team, he's not really in a position to say, oh, well, I'm just going to sit out because, well, they're like, yeah, we know. We are sitting you out on purpose.
No, I get that.
Like, and so I think this might – of course, we haven't seen the behind-the-scenes stuff, but to be put all the way into third string, does that mean that these other two guys maybe were a little bit more there in meetings, were contributing more? There's
I mean,
a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that could be going into this. I don't know. But
So I pulled up his projected season stats for this year, what they were projected out to what he would have played if he played the whole 16 games. And again, take this with a grain of salt, but they say he would have just thrown for under 3,800 passing yards, about 16 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, an 80 overall QBR, and averaging about 6.4 yards a pass with a 61 completion percentage. So that's literally below average in the NFL right now. Like, the average quarterback has a passer rating of about 87 to about 90. That's 80. That's 7 points below the average quarterback. And not only that, but he's not a running quarterback.
He's not.
You know, he's not a mobile quarterback. He's a pocket passer. And in today's league, I just don't see the need for a pocket passer. I mean, outside the ones that are, you know, great at their reads with this Breeze and Brady, but outside of that, every quarterback in the NFL can move. Even Jared Goff can move a little bit.
Yeah, so that was a good take. Next segment, we're going to be talking about the NBA Finals. This is the Press Box on GoldMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere. And I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet.
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than Go Mile High Dicam, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
On this theme on the press box at GoMileHigh.com, giving a shout out to Eddie Van Halen, who had just passed away yesterday. That was a tough break for 2020. It goes with this year. I don't know what to say else to say about this. But right now, we're going to talk about NBA Finals. Did y'all catch the finals last night? Any one of y'all?
I caught the last half of it. I caught the second half of it. Wasn't really watching the first half because I was editing a little bit here. But at one point, I saw that the Heat tied the game in the fourth quarter, and they were making it a game. It's just the Lakers pulled away, and it just seems like late in the game situations, the Lakers are just making the shots that other teams aren't making.
Yeah.
I did see that backdoor cover.
Yeah.
One final three by the Heat.
So LeBron James is one win away from his fourth NBA title, Lakers' 16th NBA title. I hate to bring this up to you, but does this means that is if he wins this, is he the GOAT? I'm gonna give you this question to answer my question right now. No, go ahead.
No, he's not the GOAT. There's someone else out there that has 6 championships and 0 losses in the NBA Finals.
Thank you.
And he's looking over saying he's three-peated twice and all
Thank
of
you.
That, but he's gonna have to have the help of these great players as in Anthony Davis and Dwayne Wade. Yeah, I'm not taking anything from Scottie Miller. He's a great player, but I don't believe that he was a true number one that you could still put Anthony Davis as, or you could still put Dwayne Wade as. Or
thank you.
So I just don't. I think LeBron has played with an exponential amount of talent compared to Michael Jordan. Yes, playing with Scottie and as well as Rodman. Yeah, a little bit of a brain fart there, but yeah, Dennis Rodman. I just think that LeBron just has. I don't know. And also, he played at the Eastern Conference. Back in the day, that conference wasn't the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Eastern Conference for the last couple of years has been a weak conference. And then this year, yeah, he played through the West, but he got the easiest, you know, 8th seed probably in a while. I mean, yeah, they were offensive juggernaut, but they had no defense whatsoever.
And
yeah,
didn't have to face down the Golden State Warriors.
Don't have to face the Golden State Warriors.
What's great about this LeBron championship is that – because it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's going to happen, and it's going to happen on Friday, and it's beautiful that it's going to happen on Friday, because by the time Monday rolls around, when everybody's going to be talking about it, they're not going to be talking about that. They're going to be talking about the football that just happened.
You got
college football, and you got NFL football in between that. And so I think that this probably kills LeBron, because there's already partially an asterisk on the season. Like, whether that's fair to say or not, but there's the talk of it. And since LeBron's going to win it, I'm going to put an asterisk on there. It's a weird season. Nobody's going to watch. And so if LeBron's going to win another championship, I'm glad it's this one.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to put an asterisk on the season. And I mean, this doesn't even feel like a real championship, to be honest with you. But I'm more interested in the Miami Heat side of the ball right here. Win or lose, I think if they lose tomorrow, I don't care. But right now, I have Jimmy Butler, right now, third best player in the NBA.
Third best player in the
third
NBA?
Third best player in the NBA. And I'll tell you why.
I can't put him that high.
I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people get on LeBron about, you know, he carried the Cleveland teams when he had nobody to the finals. Yeah, okay, I get all that. He carried those teams. But who in those teams have gotten better?
Mm-hmm.
Like players, player-wise, gotten better. Now, look at Jimmy Butler with the Miami Heat. You got Tyler Hero. Never heard of this kid, to be honest with you, until he started playing with the Heat.
Got drafted this year, so.
Yeah, now, after this year,
I'd never heard about him until last.
You got Bam Adebayo. You got Bam Adebayo, which is a good player. Now he's like one of the premier centers out there. You got the other kid, you got Nunn, who was considered for Rookie of the Year conference. I mean, he is like Jimmy Butler is playing inspired basketball, making players great. Like, if I saw Tyler Hero at the LA Fitness Gym, you know, shooting layups, you know, coding up the court, I'm like, I'm gonna take this kid's lunch money. You know,
I just
but he's making this kid like awesomely great. Like, he's dropping 20 on LeBron.
I have a problem putting Jimmy Butler ahead of players like Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, James Harden. There's just certain players. Even Joker. I put Joker as a top 10 NBA player right now. Anthony Davis. You know, we already know LeBron, you know, number one and two has got to be Giannis and LeBron. But outside of that, there's just so many great players. You know, I don't know if I said Luka. I mean, Luka.
You said Luka.
Yeah, yeah, there's just, you know.
They are great players. I'm not saying that they're
even
great players.
Even when Steph and Klay come back, I would still put Steph.
Hence my word right now. I said right now. Hence the way I said right now. He was the third best player in
the
NBA.
He is the third best player playing in this NBA Finals.
And it's, yes. And it's
no, 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 no. He's the third best player right now in the NBA.
Finals.
NBA, no finals.
Well,
NBA.
Until next season starts.
Until next season starts.
Kevin Durant, Steph Curry's all out there. He's
gonna,
Thompson.
But I'm just
Kyrie
saying.
Kyrie Irving.
I'm just saying because his leadership ability, he is molding these young players to sit up there and say, hey, you can go at LeBron. You can go at, you know, Giannis. You can go at, you know, these Boston Celtics. They're nothing. You Tyler Hero. Shoot them threes.
I'll give you this. I think his leadership is very underrated, and I think what he has done for the last three teams, being able to go to Philadelphia, being able to go to Minnesota, and being able to go to Chicago – being from Chicago and as well as going to Miami, taking them all to the playoffs after not being to the playoffs the last couple of years before he got there, shows that he has leadership and he could come to a team that may not have premier stars and be able to uplift them. I have a very hard problem. Like, I just have a hard time putting him there because, you know, he's a very talented player. I mean, he lacks shots beyond the perimeter. He lacks his three-point shooting, but he's a great player. I just have a hard time putting him above other players in the NBA. Now, if we're going – off of leadership, I'd probably put him top five, if not top two, with Chris Paul.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I think that's where the conversation kind of gets conflated because how do we make this Nuggets team win a championship? I'm like, well, bring in Jimmy Butler and maybe get rid of a Jokic or Murray, because even though one of them might be a better talented basketball player than he is.
Yeah.
This guy can bring, as we've seen, he can bring teams to a championship.
Yes.
Through his leadership.
Does
and
that
through
count
his,
for something?
I absolutely, 100%.
Does that count
100%.
For something? I mean, I can't sit up here. I mean, we sit up there last year talking about the leadership of Kawhi Leonard, how he took the Raptors to the NBA Finals and won. And now you saw when it's actually his team with the LA Clippers, it was a big disappointment. And you sit up there, and I mean, not you in general, but people sit up there and said, hey, you know, Kawhi Leonard is a leader. And I didn't see no leadership ability when he was playing against the Nuggets because he could have closed them out any time.
I also feel like another thing with the Kawhi situation is, you know, in San Antonio, yeah, he wasn't really the guy. There was multiple people there. And then, you know, yeah, he was the guy in Toronto, but they weren't really picked to win, and they weren't prohibitive favorites to be like, hey, they're going to be, you know, championship contenders. They had like an outside chance. But this year, the only difference between his teams that he played for last couple years compared to this year is they actually had championship aspirations the whole season, and everyone thought the Clippers were going to win. So it was more or less probably the what, the pressure of being a championship contender. Because, you know, the Toronto Raptors, I mean, until they won the championship, no one gave them a lick of a chance.
I don't think of Kawhi Leonard as a, you know, like, he's not a leader. He's not a Batman.
He's like.
But he's definitely not a Robin.
Right.
He's definitely not a Robin. I put him as a Kato. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you put Batman and Robin into, you know, in a fight together, who's going to win?
Batman.
But now you put Green Hornet and Kato in a fighting ring, who's going to win? Kato's going to kick that behind, you know, part of time. But, you know, I think Kyle Lowry was the better, like, leader of the thing, but he just let Kawhi do his thing.
Kawhi wills his team to win.
Wills to win. Yeah, there you go.
Well, the other, like, some other people lead their team to win.
I also just feel like that Clippers team didn't gel well together. Like, if you notice that Toronto Raptors team that he played with gelled well together and they played as a team, it just seemed like they didn't play as a team or as a unit with the Clippers. It was a lot of me ball and it was a lot of, you know, Paul George or Kawhi. And it seems like the, you know, blame obviously got put back on them and it's, you know, well deserved.
Yeah, and I get all that. But again, like, if you see this, you know, the whole basketball situation with, you know, this, the NBA Finals, again, I'm more interested in the Heat, even though they're probably going to end up losing this next game and go out in a gentleman's sweep. I just think that they're a more interesting team than the Lakers right now, where you just got the, you know, the two big men that, you know, we're going to give you this NBA championship by default, me honestly. So it just, I just don't see. I have more interest in the Heat and the Nuggets than I do with the Lakers right now.
I can see where you're coming from. I also like the fact that these are both young teams that have a lot of young pieces around them, outside of a couple veterans, which is Jimmy Butler and, you know, the Jeremy Grants and Mason Plumlee's. But I do like the where these teams are heading, and I just want to see what is going to happen next year or the next couple years with these teams when we actually get enough fans and we're not doing it in the bubble. Because there's been a lot of things talking like, hey, did the bubble help this team or did the bubble disrespect this team? Or like, you know, no home field advantage. There's no real home court advantage. It's literally there is. It says, you know, the Nuggets on there and you have virtual fans, but it's not like the real thing of actually being in the game and you knock down a couple threes and you get the crowd going. You actually can feel the crowd noise and you know how it is.
It definitely hurt the finals. And I think you needed that crowd noise to play off of. I mean, if the game last night was actually in Miami, Florida, not Disney World, there would have been a different little feel. You know, the crowd would have got behind it, you know, and everybody would have fed off of it. I mean, you got Duncan Robinson, another player that nobody ever heard of. Yeah. Jimmy Butler just came up there and said, listen, you know, you can get this. You got this. That's LeBron. LeBron ain't nothing.
Yeah. Squirrel just dropped this little nugget in my ear. Yeah. No team's ever came down or came back 3-1 to win an NBA Finals.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to happen. Yeah, I mean, it could have happened. It could have happened if it was the Nuggets.
Squirrel
said. It could have happened if it was the Nuggets.
Did you just say that no team's ever came back from 3-1 in the NBA Finals?
Excuse me. Other than LeBron.
Other than LeBron. Okay. LeBron. That makes more sense.
Oh, no LeBronless team. No LeBron-less team. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. Oh, boy, shoot. We just going to walk into this break, huh? We just going to keep talking. I mean, shoot. Who y'all got for the next game?
28. What?
Y'all got for the next game?
Who do I got for the next game? I got the Lakers, but I just really want to see the Heat winning. And I want to ask you guys, do you think the Boston Celtics would have been a better matchup against the Lakers? It's just the Heat doesn't really present like a tall man that they can throw at, you know, the Lakers' tall guys. The Boston Celtics at least had Enes Kanter and as well as Daniel Theis that they were able to throw at them.
I think it would have been a better coaching matchup, be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. Brad Stevens versus whatever. Frank, yeah, whatever.
I'll tell you what I like in the next game. I like the under. Under 216, I think it's going to hit pretty handily. Pretty
easy. I'd say that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see them giving up. But next, we're going to be talking Denver Broncos on the press box.
Every day across this country,
hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere. And I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah. Because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today. So find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
This is Ducello at Sturt. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it. Which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturt. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter, nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Press box. We are keeping the tribute to Eddie Van Halen, who passed away yesterday alive. And they played one of my favorite Van Halen songs, Panama. Of course, it's the only lyric I know of that song, by the way.
I think I told you. I think I said the last show that that's probably the only lyric. Most people in the world know that song.
Panama. Yeah, that or Jump. They only know those two.
Yeah, and Jump. Jump, yeah.
Might as well jump.
Well, you really got me.
I'm black, so that's the only lyrics I've ever known about. I do have a lot of respect for Van Halen. We're going to be talking Denver Broncos this segment, and they're playing the COVID Patriots. I don't know, the COVID New England Patriots, which Cam Newton is day-to-day. And
just want to say that used to be Jake's favorite team.
I got a 2-year lease on the Tampa Bay.
You're going to lease.
Let me say this. This game, nobody knows anything about. There's not even a line or an over-under or anything.
Because they don't know.
They don't know anybody.
They don't even know if they're going to play the game. Stephen Gilmore just tested positive today for COVID. So that just puts the game up in the air right now.
I was saying on the show before this, Inside the Huddle, that if Cam Newton was playing that game, that would have been a different Patriots-Chiefs game. I mean,
think about it. They were 6-3, like, late into the third quarter. They would held that Mahomes offense to 6 points. That's, like, very unheard of in the NFL, especially now, holding Mahomes to 6 points through three quarters.
That's what I'm saying. And then you got Brian Hoyer out there and Jarrett Stidham coming out doing God knows nothing.
I mean, they should have been upright.
I mean, look,
9-3.
Rex Burkhead really wasn't even in the offense working around, you know, and he did what, 3 touchdowns the week before with Cam, you know. So I think COVID is showing you exactly how this NFL season is going to work. You're sick, bro. The whole team's looking like they're not going to play, which is crazy. But we just seen the Patriots play without Cam Newton, which I don't think was a good decision. But, you know, it's Bill Belichick. He's going to do what he's got to do, and he's going to try his best to get a win.
You know what's crazy? Stephon Gilmore just tested positive today, and who was shaking, you know, Stephon Gilmore's hands after the game?
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes.
So
I don't know why he's not being tested right now or how he's not tested positive. And if he is probably testing positive, remember how we were saying earlier, they're going to protect their golden children.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to release that information.
I'm about to say, do you tell a $500 million man, hey, man, you're not playing this week? Or do you tell the press that a $500 million man's not playing?
Do you think
they got to protect their golden boy?
Knowing that the Denver Broncos know that Stephon Gilmore just tested positive, and then everybody else probably is going to get tested from the New England Patriots, do you play this game if you're the Denver Broncos?
I mean, look, the Chiefs played. What's the difference? I mean, honestly.
I feel like if there's no Cam Newton and there's no Stephon Gilmore,
I'm taking advantage of that.
I would damn sure make that phone call right now, say, hey, this game's on. We're good to go.
I don't care who you put somebody out.
We got Rippon in the back, man. Let's get it on. You know, I mean, I know you guys got it's gonna be Hoyer versus Rippon. I mean, two turd muffin quarterbacks, and, you know, so I mean it's...
But you're probably going to take Rippon over Hoyer. I'd take a Rippon over Hoyer.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Denver's got a more complete team at the moment, even with all the injuries, dude, because you got... Listen, even though Drew Lock is out, listen, he's not blossomed to the best yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get there. But we know what Cam Newton brings to a table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cam Newton brings his legs, he brings his gun of an arm, and he brings his winning, I'm the best mentality, which... You need to have that in the NFL. You need to go out there and say, I'm better than you. I'm going to beat you down. Because you go out there and you want to not give it your all or give it, you know, as we say, half-ass. You know, you can't win NFL games that way. You know, and Stephon Gilmore's that way. He comes out and he blows people up, you know. So losing those type of players on a field, as you've seen, you know, I know you played Kansas City and you played Patrick Mahomes. You know, there's not too much you can do to win a football game there. But if Cam Newton was on that field at 26-10, I think that'd have been a way different game.
It definitely would have. But here's the thing: we also have to keep in mind is that it is an expanded playoffs this year.
Yeah.
There is that extra spot. Mm-hmm. There's only one bye week to go around, and I think teams are smart enough to say, "Well, yeah, we'd love that one bye week, but that one bye week more or less belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs." No, like there was very little hope except for maybe Mahomes getting COVID. To anybody else sneaking in there.
But they're
going to
protect the Golden Boy. They're not
going to release
that.
The only other hope was the Ravens for the rest of the NFL. That, oh, maybe if the Ravens can beat them, we can only have one loss, two, and maybe have more points scored. So I think what the NFL teams have to think about now is, hey, how do we stay healthy? How do we stay away from COVID for the end of the year? They don't have to necessarily, like, it sucks that Cam and Gilmore might miss a couple games with it. But as long as they come back healthy, which isn't a guarantee, but they're young, they're healthy. I don't know of any underlying conditions for them. They might have that. But as long as they're there for playoff time, that's kind of what matters.
Yeah, getting back to the Broncos, you know, Drew Lock did practice today, but he's still listed as questionable at the quarterback position. Right now you have Jeff Driscoll, Brett Brett Rippon.
Is it Brett? Is that his name? Brett Rippon?
Brett Rippon,
I thought it was Matt Rippon.
No, it's Brett.
It's Brett.
Rip City?
Yeah, Brett.
The Rippon and the Terran.
And don't forget about Blake Bortles.
Oh, hey, don't forget about the boat.
Put some respect on that name, bro.
Blake the Bortles.
He went to the AFC Championship, got cheated out by Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Which quarterback plays?
Well, obviously, Rippon's going to start.
Yeah. Well, Rippon's going to start. So if Rip starts,
Drew Lock's down. Driscoll just ain't got it. And Bortles isn't, what, is he not eligible?
He's eligible?
If Bortles is eligible, I'm starting Bortles, absolutely, honestly. He's got more starts under his belt. He's got more TD tosses than the whole Broncos team put together. Well, the guy's thrown, what, 40 TDs in a season before. You got to, with a pretty sweet offense in Jacksonville at one point. So you honestly got to let this guy get in there. He hasn't played in, what, a year and a half?
Right.
Because he's been under Jared Goff, which is understandable. You know, but I think right now with the way Denver's looking and –
You throw a man in there with no reps with the first team.
I mean, that's what they did in week one.
I was about to say, how many reps did Drew Lock have with the first team? How many reps did Rippon have with the first team?
How many reps did Rivers have with the first team? Yeah, how many reps did Brady have?
I mean, nobody had too many reps with anybody right now. So it is what it is. Yeah. The quarterback, you know the quarterbacks that are doing good right now?
Who?
The ones that did good last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ones Rogers, that are already established.
Not named Drew Brees.
Yeah, not named Drew Brees. The ones that are established. The ones that are playing. You know, but. I mean, Drew Brees is Drew Brees, though.
The wheels are falling off.
He's going to throw 4,000 yards, 30 TDs. It's just Drew Brees.
Averaging about like 5 yards a pass.
Yeah.
I mean, and we also got to look. You know, Michael Thomas isn't there. You know, that's Drew Brees' bread and butter. I mean, that'd be the NFL's bread and butter. So, I mean, you lose somebody like that, just like losing D-Hop.
So,
you know,
it's
a big loss.
After this week, the Broncos play the Dolphins. So, they could have a situation where they win this, and then they win against the Dolphins, and they're right back to 3-3. Mm-hmm. So, a season that started off 0-3, and a lot of fans lost hope, mm-hmm. they can get right back to a 500 schedule, and they're playing the Chiefs next after that. Probably might be a loss, but they could possibly win that, and then they play the Falcons and then the Raiders. I mean, they could easily get out of there like 6-4.
With all the injuries around the NFL, I don't see anybody's season pretty much over unless you're 0-4 right now. You know, the Giants and the Jets and
Those seasons are over.
Yeah, those are over. But
let me remind you guys of what happened last week. The Jets and Broncos went down to the wire last night. The Broncos took the Jets to the wire. This is not a good football team. I think they can. It's very easy for them to lose to Stephon Gilmore-less, Cam Newton-less Patriots.
Yeah. Bill Belichick Patriots.
The Dolphins will most likely be the favorites next week.
I don't know. I mean, you look at it. I mean, they still have to play the Dolphins and the Falcons.
Especially if the Broncos are as banged up without
beat.
Fant, without Hamler, without Locke, I think I would.
Tim Patrick's pretty blossomed up. Tim Patrick is a good looking receiver.
I like Tim Patrick a lot.
Without your defense, all that. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not banged up, but I'm just saying don't count them off just yet.
I still think the playoffs are
within reach if
Drew Lock comes back.
If Drew Lock gets back and they can manage to outwork Las Vegas, which Derek Carr and the Raiders don't look that terribly bad at the moment, I think they'd look.
Yeah, but Josh Jacobs and the Raiders look pretty good.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think Josh Jacobs and the Raiders look really good. Derek Carr, you know, he's –
Derek Carr.
He's Derek Carr, but I think Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Drew Lock is, you know, just because of his experience, him throwing the football, touchdowns. You know, you honestly got to say that Derek Carr is a better quarterback at the moment than Drew Lock is. So if you can get by the Raiders, I think you could, you know – second in this division, maybe, and you know, work in the playoffs. Because
I wouldn't put it second yet, though. Because I mean, I think this.
Well, you're not gonna be third and make the playoffs in any division.
NFC West might even send four.
That's what I'm saying. The West will send one division is gonna.
They have the possibility of
sending
four
all four.
West,
yeah.
Yeah.
One division is
that
gonna send three.
That division has the most, the biggest possibility.
I think only one division will send three. Dude,
if it is, it's gonna be the AFC North.
And obviously, we know the NFC East is literally barely going to squeeze one through.
Yeah.
So,
and that's going to be a one and done.
Yeah, well, and that's why I think the NFC West can squeeze it, because the NFC East is so bad.
You think they make up for that?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, listen, think about it. San Francisco's 2-2, and they're last in the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
Because they deserve to be last in the NFC West.
Hang on, wait a minute.
They're hurt.
That's what I'm saying. They're hurt and still 2-2 as a Super Bowl contending team.
You see that last game they played?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it was just terrible.
But you see the sorry Eagles,
Nick Mullins.
The two games before, and C.J. Beathard came in.
Yeah,
went 7-for-7 for 75 yards on one drive. Dude, it's like,
The Eagles were just playing complete press coverage, though, so that's kind of why. But I do agree. I think this team has I like to call them CJ Beathart.
All right, we just came up to the break. Next segment, we're going to be talking baseball here on the Press Box.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
This is Ducello Experts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at Welcome Rug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than Go Mile High Dad Cam. Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what...
how we do it. We're here at the press box right here. We still are giving our tribute to Eddie Van Halen. That was Dancing with the Devil.
Coming up after this break, leaving us, we're going to have Mr. Johnny Nash give us a little little symptoms out of here.
I can see clearly now.
Ruin it, dude. Now you just ruined it.
Spoiler alert. Wow. Gee whiz.
Name another Johnny Nash song. Go.
I don't think
Johnny
there is
Cash
one.
Song? Or Johnny Nash.
Nash. Nash. Johnny, go. Johnny Nash.
Go.
Do you know Johnny Nash is?
I can see clearly now.
He's a little young, dude. Give him a break.
Give him a little young.
Y'all gonna talk bad about me. Name another one. Go.
How old are you? How old are you, Jake?
24.
24. I'm 28. What are you? You're 30. You're in your 30s.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
45?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't born in 1970. I'm 25.
You're still like 19,
ain't you? Yeah, y'all babies.
25, 24, 28, and the old man on the table.
Yeah, I'm the old man on the table.
1972 is when he's not even born.
Gonna, he's not going to be the right decade, I'll tell you that. You're the right decade. You're the right decade.
70s, man.
You're the right decade.
Wow, so you're at least 40.
Yeah.
Holy cow, you look good, man, for 40 years old, buddy.
No, you ain't getting my number. I'm sorry.
I hope you know. I already have it.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you think you got here today? Yes.
Not by that way. I'll tell you that. Oh, so
Rock Me Baby.
We are.
There's another Johnny Nash.
Rock
song.
Me Baby. It's not. Oh, yeah. I thought you said Johnny Cash.
No, Johnny Nash. Like,
oh, you have to look it up, though.
Yeah. We have these computers in our pockets. Yeah, that's very helpful. Yeah. He was born in Houston, Texas in 1940.
I don't know how anybody comes up with bad information these days. Literally, it's at your fingertips.
It's right there at your fingertips.
That's how you come up with bad information. Seconds, you pull it off a bad website, or you pull it off the wrong website. That's how you come up with bad information.
You start looking at fake news.
I brought back football, Joe.
Broke back football. Yeah, brought it back. I brought it back here.
I brought back the Big Ten.
I brought back the Big Ten. What did you do?
It wasn't Ryan Day. It wasn't Scott Frost. It was definitely me.
Are you going to bring back baseball here? Because we're going to be talking about baseball.
Let's get it on.
So we're going to talk about baseball. So we got four games going on today. One already ended with Atlanta with a 2-0 lead against the Miami Marlins.
That puts them up 2-0, right?
Yeah, yeah. Puts them up 2-0.
So much for Miami wins every single postseason game they ever play in.
I was about to say they win what they were what 7-0, or it was what was
no,
it?
I can't say
what was the number. What was the number? They were like 14 or 15 or something.
Let's see. Well, it would have been 3-7-13 and probably 14-0.
Wow.
Would have been the number.
Until they lost both these games to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You think Atlanta's got this in the bang?
Oh, yeah, they got this. They got
Houston
it.
Houston is losing right now, 9-7.
9-7. Big Houston time. Is like, oh, good. Well, I mean, they're up the bat right now, so we'll see
they
how
suck.
They go. There's two on, one out.
I hate Houston. I'm just letting everybody know. I hate Houston. Houston's terrible. They're cheaters.
If Houston.
I'm with you there.
If the Astros beat Oakland, are you thinking they're cheating again?
No. I don't think they're cheating now because
they're not even playing in the Astrodome or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they can't be cheating. There's no fans for them to even cheat with because that's how they were cheating is their fans were helping.
They're playing in L.A., right, Dodger Stadium?
Do you not remember how the whole cheating scandal was?
I thought they had, like, there was sensors up there.
No, there was a guy in center field banging on a trash can.
Well, no, there was a guy in center field with a camera that was going to the dugout.
Well,
the dugout, and then they would relay
the message
to the guy in the dugout who would then bang on the trash can.
Bang on the trash can, which they knew fastballs were coming, and pow, whizzle. You know, the smallest man on the planet in Jose Altuve was smashing 400 bombs because, he knew fastballs were coming. Hmm. You should see his average right now. It's at like 210. Because you know why? Because he can't predict pitches. That's what happens to Major League Baseball players.
219.
219.
With a 629
OPS. Last year was like 327, dude. Like, that's what happens when you can't predict the fastball. You actually can't play baseball is what the problem
Bregman
is.
Bregman hit 242 this year.
Everybody was under like 300, man. It's horrible.
That's crazy.
They didn't even win. What, they win like 33 games?
No, they won 29 or
29. They didn't even win 30 games, dude. They were under 500.
Oh, no, I get that.
So
Springer, 265, that's not a bad average.
That's probably the best one on the team,
dude. Different than what he's been doing.
You know what I'm saying? And the pitching's been terrible. They got to the playoffs, dude, and it's all Houston.
Oh,
honestly.
Okay, so now we got Tampa Bay and the Yanks.
Ah!
Series is tied.
Don't let me talk about it.
It comes on a little bit later here, about another hour or so. Yeah, so what do you got winning this one?
Oh, Tanaka versus Morton. I think the Rays get this one done tonight.
Oh, jeez, dude. I gave the Rays the game last night as a Yankee fan. I told them they were going to win last night. I picked them because Glasnow is a monster.
Absolutely.
Now, I know we tore up Snell, which, wasn't supposed to happen, but we tore him apart. And, well, 6'8" Glasnow came in, set down, I think, 10 last night, which Yankees are easy to strike out. Mm-hmm. Let's not stop there. I'm a big Yankee fan. They are the most struck out team, but they're also the highest bombing team on the planet. They hit more bombs than anybody, and I think that's what everybody's scared about is, yeah, can we strike them out? Yeah, but that next pitch that Stanton's going to get, it's a bomb, which what happened last night. We were down 5-1. Stanton hit a 3-run bomb. You know, they're you know,
what was that one, 480?
Yeah, 475, dude, yeah. which is absolutely just crushed. I mean, absolutely.
You just thought he was at Coors Field.
Center field. How far that one went. Dude, just, they were playing San Diego. They were playing to the Padres Stadium, dude, just blasting home runs, man. So yeah. I like Tanaka. I like Tanaka tonight. Close game. I say Yanks take it maybe 4-1. I don't think it's going to be a big night tonight. Last night was, I think, 12 runs scored. The night before was about 14. So I think it's going to slow down tonight. 4-1, Yanks.
I give that one to you. And the last game of the slate will be the Dodgers versus the San Diego Padres. Clayton Kershaw will be pitching. I thought he was injured for the whole year.
No.
He's been
playing all year. He played all year.
Shoulders.
What I want people to – who pitched last night? Bueller? Did Bueller pitch last
night?
Yeah. Dude. Now, Bueller's a monster, dude. Mm-hmm. Other than – we tore him up against the Indians. Come on.
Dodgers pitcher?
No, the Indians pitcher who won the Triple Crown.
Shane Bieber.
Yeah, Shane Bieber. We put up 11 on Shane Bieber. Now, I'm just letting you know, Bueller is a whole different set of – him and Kershaw together, that is a heck of a tandem.
That is.
And to face that Dodgers lineup, dude, is just – destructive, and I don't think San Diego's got the pitchers to handle it. So
yeah, they've got Zach Davies on the mound tonight. Mm-hmm. 273 ERA for the year. It's going to be interesting.
It's a little misleading.
I think this is the best series of all four of them. I think that either of these two teams, whoever wins, has more than a shot against the Braves. Not to say that the Braves are nothing to sneeze at, but the that'll be a good series.
Acuna, Freeman, all the boys.
But, I mean, if you look at the Padres lineup, Tatis, Machado, mm-hmm. Hosmer, Pham, Will Myers.
It's a great lineup, dude.
Then it gets a lot worse from there. Cronenworth, Profar,
Marte?
Nola. But
Marte there? No, Ketel, no. He's in Arizona?
Yeah.
Ketel Marte?
Yep.
Both of the Martes were
both
in
Arizona.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they might have got traded, but I don't think they
Sterling. Sterling got traded to the Marlins.
Marte. Yes, that's right.
So
I mean, man, this Dodgers team, though, they're so scary, man.
Tough.
So that's what you got going to the bubble series?
Mookie, Seager, Turner, Muncy, Bellinger, Pollock.
Absolutely.
Pollock's hitting eighth.
Yeah.
Pollock was in Arizona, he was either leadoff or four-hole.
That's what I've been telling people, dude. Gary Sanchez is hitting eighth in the Yankees lineup at 275, like hitting with 12 bombs. Like, dude, it's hard to play lineups like the Yankees and the Dodgers every day for a 4 or 5-game series and try to come out with two games. It's very, very tough, dude.
Yeah, it's very crazy. So, like I said, who y'all got
Dodgers
going
beat
for
the Pods.
Bubble series, the bubble world
Dodgers,
series.
Dodgers beat the Pods, get through. I think the Yankees are going to come through for me, take that, which is going to be very tough because Tampa's very, very good. I hate to say it, dude, but I think Houston, if they lose today, which looks like they might, I think they're going to finish up that next game, win that, and then
the
Braves are what, up 2-0?
They're still
9-7.
It's the top of the ninth.
And
so
the Braves play what?
I think
they're
for the
two,
NLCS and ALCS, we're going to see Braves-Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Braves move on there, and then we're going to see Yankees-A's with, unfortunately, I got to say, the Yankees move on there.
So you say the Braves beat the Dodge? The Braves
beat
the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think so.
That's
a
bold
think,
statement. Mm-hmm. I'm with him with the L.A. Dodgers. Yeah.
So
that's a lineup.
I don't have
Mookie
any
bets.
Big stats to back this up, but what you kind of see in baseball a lot of the time is these teams that are kind of teams of destiny, which has been what the Braves have been for the past couple of years. They've been the second favorites behind the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And this is the first year that it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't think they have what it is to get it done this year. And I think that can put a chip on their shoulder. And I think this team can come out and beat this Dodgers team, mm-hmm. which sure they look good on paper, but I just think that this Braves team has enough swagger and moxie to move on to the World Series.
It's just going to be a tough ride trying to beat the Dodgers. They've pretty much got this Marlins thing swept up. But you playing the Dodgers is tough, man. Then you got to play the Yankees, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, and that is the episode of the Press Box. I'd like to thank the Ryans and Squirrel. This is your boy, Lyman Roddy, saying watch again, listen again for the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able